Savior, who is our present help in time of need. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as you will remember, I hope you will remember, last week we started off looking at the seven things which believers would consider as very important, of which love is more important. We looked at the first three things, and today we're going to continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, where we look at the three things, or four things, which are more important, love that is more important than four more things that we find in our passage. As you know, we are busy with our series on obedience, and we're looking at obedience in love. It is Jesus Christ who commanded us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind, our strength, everything that is in us. We need to love God, and we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So it's a command. It's part of the Ten Commandments that we should love. And it's interesting how Christ, when he explains the Ten Commandments and kind of summarizes the Ten Commandments, how he brings in love the Lord your God above all things. Not obey the Lord, but love him. And it's interesting that it's only possible for us to love God if he pours out his love into us. It is actually we love God with the love that comes from God. We love our neighbors with the love that God has poured out in us. And that's the only way that we can actually obey this command of Christ to love, to be obedient to this command. And when we look at these four things this morning, I hope that it will just kind of explain it a little bit more. Before we continue, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who made it possible for us to be saved, who makes it possible for us to believe in you, to be justified, sanctified, and one day be glorified. It is all because of him. And Father, it's such a wonderful privilege to open up your word this morning and to read from your word and study your word and see what you have to say to us. So I pray, Father, please open up our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and enable me as your servant to teach your people so that each one of us will be able to leave this building edified, encouraged, but also challenged to be obedient. Specifically with regards to love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Corinth. And he says to them, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." All right. I want you to see the three things. If I do not have the love that Paul is speaking about in the first place, I am just a big noise, in verse 1. You see that? He speaks about a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm just a big noise that tries to wake up gods that does not exist. All right, we spoke about that last week. But then he says, if I do have the gift of prophecy in verse 2 and I understand all the mysteries and have all the knowledge and have all the faith, but have not love, then I am nothing. Not only that I'm just a big noise, I am actually nothing if I do not have agape love. Because the love that Paul is speaking about here is agape love. It's godly love. It's sacrificial love. And then he says in verse 3, if I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. So three things. I become a big, loud noise with no substance, or I am nothing, or it profits me nothing if I do not have agape love. And the only way that I can have agape love, the only way I can have God-given love, is if God, who is love, dwells in me and enables me to love with His love. I hope you understand that, because this is crucial for the understanding of the passage, especially, God willing, next week when we get to the point where we look at love, what love is really like, and you will see it is impossible for a normal human being to have that kind of love. It's not possible. It is only if God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within us, because the Bible says that God is love. So it's only God, who is love, if He dwells in us, that His love can start flowing out of us. In the first place, to Him, to love Him with everything that is in me, and to love my neighbor as I love myself. It's only if I am basically regenerated, saved, born again, you call it whatever you want. It's only if God dwells within me that it's possible for me to be able to love with the kind of love that God is speaking about, or Paul is speaking about here in our passage. Now, we've looked at love is more important than three things already. The first one that we looked at is that love is more important than the spiritual gifts. We looked at that last week. Love is more important than knowledge, and we looked at love is more important than faith. Today, we're going to look at the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh one. Now, the fourth thing that Paul tells us in our passage is that love is more important than the gift of prophecy. Now, that kind of slots in with what we spoke about last week, that love is more important than the gifts. But what Paul is doing here is he's actually focusing in on one specific gift. And I believe it is very important that we need to understand why he focuses in on this one specific gift called the gift of prophecy. Look at verse 2 again. He says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." See those words? Though I have the gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is to speak forth God's truth. That's basically what it means. To speak forth. To proclaim. To announce the truth of God aloud. That's basically what prophecy is. Now, the Apostle Paul says that love is more important than the gift of prophecy. Now, just go to chapter 4, verse 1 quickly. 14, sorry. Chapter 14, just the next chapter. Chapter 14, verse 1. Paul says the following. And I want you to see how he elevates prophecy above the other gifts. Verse 1 says, Paul said the following. He says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." So what he does is he elevates prophecy above the other gifts. Can you see that? Obviously, he's making a comparison between the people that say that speaking in tongues is so important. He says, no, I would rather have you speak the truth of God. I want you to prophesy, because if you speak in tongues, you are speaking to God and you're speaking to yourself. But if you are speaking in, you're speaking forth the truth of God, if you prophesy, you are speaking to other people. That's basically what he's saying. When you go down to verse 3 of chapter 14, you read the following. "But he who prophesies," and this explains to us what prophecy is. He says, "He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." You see, prophecy is the means through which God's truth is brought to people to do three things: to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Exhortation is basic encouragement, to encourage, to make an appeal kind of thing. So prophecy edifies people. That's what prophecy does. It edifies God's people. The moment you speak forth God's truth, then you are edifying God's people, because that's the intention of prophecy. And obviously, do you think it's important that we need to edify one another by speaking forth God's truth? Obviously, it's important. It is very, very important, specifically that we would speak forth God's truth to everybody that we see. But Paul says, love is more important than speaking forth God's truth. I kind of sat there and I said, what could be more important? Especially people like us who believe very strongly in the scriptures being all sufficient, that we need to know God's truth, that we need to know doctrine, and that we speak forth doctrine and we speak forth God's truth. What is more important than that? Well, Paul says love is. Love is more important than even speaking forth God's truth. Now, when you speak God's truth, it's unfortunately true that you can speak it in a loveless way, with a loveless attitude. That you can speak God's truth from the top down, as if you are better than somebody else. Remember, knowledge puffs up? And people that has a lot of biblical knowledge, sometimes it can seem as if they come down from the top, you know, down to people and speak down on people. Have you experienced that before? Paul says, no. When you prophesy, when you speak forth God's truth, it has to be covered with love. It needs to be done in love. It needs to be done in and through the love that God has poured out in our hearts, and it will flow out of us. And let me tell you, there are times that we have to speak the truth in love, and that truth that we speak will hurt. It is true. It happens like that. When discipline comes our way, when we are reminded of sin or we are reminded of things that we've done wrong, it's not nice to hear. But if somebody speaks that truth to us and they do it in love, then we receive it with open arms, don't we? Even though it's hard, even though it's painful, but we receive it. And that's why I believe the Apostle Paul says that love is more important than the gift of prophecy, the gift of being able to speak forth God's truth boldly. It has to be covered in love. But I believe there's another reason why love is more important than prophecy. And it's found in the understanding of what prophecy is in chapter 14. You see, Paul tells us that prophecy is all about edification of fellow believers and exhortation of fellow believers and comforting fellow believers. In verse 4 of chapter 14, Paul tells us that prophecy edifies the church. So it's important that we need to prophesy. But you see, beloved, edifying and exhorting and comforting the church is all about action. It is something that we do. Can you see that? It's something that we minister. It's something that we do to fellow brothers and sisters. It is basically utilizing the ability that God has given us to do good to others. You see, prophecy is about action. It's about doing something. But love is about character. See the difference? Prophecy is edifying, it's doing. Love is about character. Scripture teaches us that God is love. God does not only have love and show love, He is the essence of love. So it means that if we prophesy, if we speak forth God's truth and we do it in love, we are reflecting the character of God. We are reflecting the nature of God. We are reflecting who God is, because God is love. He doesn't only show love and have love, He is the essence of love. So when I speak forth God's truth and I do it in love, I am actually exhibiting the character of God Himself. I don't know if you've heard this before, you must have, that we are supposed to be Christ in this world. We are supposed to reflect Christ into this world. We need to be the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ. When people look at us and they see us, they need to see something of Christ in this world. You must have heard that before. That's exactly what this is all about. The moment I speak forth God's truth in love, and I do it with agape love, I do it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am showing forth, or reflecting the character of God. I am becoming Christ-like and showing Christ to the world. But if I do it without love, people cannot see God in that. It's only if we do it in love, with the love of God that is in us, that it is possible for us to reflect the image of Christ in this world. And that's why I believe Paul says that love is more important than speaking forth God's truth or to prophesy. That's why it's more important. Because we are showing the world what Christ looks like through us. Oh, beloved, and let me tell you, no greater mission has any believer but to show the world what Christ looks like. Because that's what God has created us to be in Christ Jesus. See, love is more important than prophecy, because edification and exhortation and comfort only means something if it's done in and through agape love, because that's what reflects Christ to the world. Remember, the world will not see God as clear as they will be able to see Him in and through us. We're not only ambassadors, representatives of God, we are image bearers of God. We are people that are supposed to reflect Christ to the world. And it is best done in love. But we also see in our passage that love is more important than understanding all the complexities of life. Look at verse 2 again. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. So even if I understand all the mysteries, the word mysteries here refers to the deep counsels of God, which in centuries past were kept secret, but now in these last days, the Apostle Paul says, have been revealed to the saints. That's the mystery. It's things that has been hidden. For example, Christ in us, our hope of glory. That was a mystery that was kept secret for the whole of the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament when God the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within us. The fact that the Gentiles would be engraved into the nation of Israel, that was a mystery that was hidden in the past and was revealed. That Jesus Christ would come as the suffering servant, the people did not know it. Even the Jews, when they expected the Messiah, they expected the King, even though it was written that He was going to come as the suffering servant. Those things were hidden, but revealed as time goes on. And we have the Word of God, we have the New Testament that reveals so much of the Old Testament to us, so much about Christ to us. But the Apostle Paul says, even if we understand all the mysteries, all of it, but have not love, I'm nothing. It means nothing. Because once again, love is more important than understanding all the mysteries that there is to understand. If I have the ability to understand all the complexities of life, if I could understand all the deep things of God and how God works in this world and how He does things, and even if I could understand everything there is to understand about God, but I have not love, Paul says, I am nothing. You see, because there are so many people that want to understand all the mysteries. They want to understand all the complexities of life, and they will philosophize about it, and they will reason about it, and they will talk about it. But without God, without God Himself dwelling in us, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, it means absolutely nothing. I am nothing. I mean, I've had the opportunity through the years to be involved in many different ministries and to be involved with many ministers of the gospel, evangelists and missionaries and so on. It's a great privilege. I've met people who told me they had revelations from God, amazing things that they shared with me. I met people who professed that they know all kinds of hidden things that is in the Bible. They know things about the Bible that I never even knew existed. I met people who were so deep into understanding prophecy that they could spend hours and hours and hours explaining prophecy in the Bible. But one thing that stood out to me through all the years that we've been involved in ministry is if somebody would have a, let me call it a spirit of love. If a person has God kind of love that just pours out of them, as they share about the Word and they share mysteries and they share all kinds of things, and it's done in love, those were the people who really touched my life. Not those who came with all their knowledge and all their understanding and whatever and just dumped it on me. You see, beloved, Paul says that love is more important than knowing all the mysteries there is to know. Because if you can know all the mysteries, but you have no love, he says, you are nothing. In God's kingdom, you're nothing. Because people's lives are actually only touched if it is, whatever we share is shared in love. Because love is like the umbrella that's over everything that we do as believers. Then we get to verse 3, where the Apostle Paul says to us that love is more important than even generosity. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And I want you to understand this. There's this very important little phrase there. He says, I can bestow my goods, I can be generous, and I can give away, and I can even become a martyr for Christ. If I don't have love, it profits nothing. And I want to zoom in on that idea for a while, because I believe it's very important. Because you see, there are things that are profitable for believers. Now you will ask, well, what is that? The things that are profitable are every single thing that you and I have done in and through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The things that God has done in and through us, those are the things that are profitable. When we stand before the Bema Seat of Christ one day, and He's going to judge us, He's going to give us reward, we will profit if we've done things that are good, that are right, that are where we have acted in obedience and we've acted in love. We will profit because we are in Christ, and what we do, good or bad, profitable or non-profitable, we will profit from that because we will receive reward. Scripture is clear on that. All right, so we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, those who are saved. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we are going to receive reward. It's going to be profitable for us if we've done things in this life that are right, good, profitable. When we've acted in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice what Paul says here. Paul doesn't say, if I give 10% of my goods to the poor. So if I tithe, not just to God, because God says if you give to the poor, you're actually lending to God. Now, you remember scripture teaches that? So even if you take 10% and you give it away to the poor, but he doesn't say you give 50% or 99%. No, Paul says if you give it all. That's generosity, isn't it? That's really giving. So if I give away everything that I have and I give it to the poor, if I empty my checking account and my savings account and everything that I have, I empty it all, I give up my retirement fund and I sell my house and I cash up my insurance policies, and if I go and sit on the corner of a street and I have nothing left except what I'm wearing, it means that I've practiced amazing generosity. Don't you agree with me? I mean, who wouldn't be seen as being very generous if they've sold everything and they've given it all away? That's generous. That's giving. That's really, really giving. Paul says, if I don't have love, if I do not do it in and through the love that God has poured out in my heart, if I do not do it through the indwelling Holy Spirit that dwells in me, it profits me nothing. I actually wrote down, for those, maybe those are, these are languages, I don't know, nada, zilch, a zigolo, nothing. It profits me nothing. I can be the most generous person on the face of this planet. If it's not done in love, it profits nothing. Now, I want you to understand this very quickly, very clearly. Works doesn't profit us one little bit if it is not done in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, there are many people in the world today, they give generously. I mean, they give to the poor, they give to charities, they give to save the planet from climate change. They give millions. There are people who give towards the reservation of rhinos, you know, extinct animals and cancer research, and so you can go on and on. There are a lot of people that generously give. They are givers. They are willing to give. They're willing to give away a lot. There are people who give millions and millions to all kinds of charities. But Paul says it profits them nothing if it's not done with agape love. It means that every single thing that they've given, because that's what people do, is they give. They give to the poor and they give to charities and they give to all kinds of things in the hope that it will be put on their little "you did well" side of the little chart that they have before God. They think, oh, I'm giving to the poor, ding, God will put a tick there. I'm giving to saving the planet, tick. And so they will go on and they will do all these kind of things because they want to have a little correct mark put around next to their name so that their works that they've done will actually outweigh the things that they did not do. And at the end of the day, because they've done so many things, that they will be able to enter into heaven because God will judge them on that basis. Paul is actually saying to us, nope. Nope, you can give away every single thing you have. Give it to the poor. You can have nothing left. If it's not done in and through agape love, it means it profits nothing. It means nothing. You see, the thing is that you can only have agape love is if the God of love dwells within you. If God doesn't dwell in you through His Spirit, you have no agape love. Because the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, is love, peace, joy. Now, you remember that? Love. And that word there is agape love. It's godly love. It's the kind of love that only God has, and it's the kind of love that only God can pour out in you, and it's the kind of love that can only come out of you, and you can do things in and through that love only if God is in your life. So that's why Paul is so clear. He says you can give away everything you have and give it to the poor. You can have nothing left. It will profit you nothing if it was not done in and through the love that God has poured out in your heart. If God does not dwell in you, if you're not saved, you're not born again, you're not regenerated, it profits you nothing. Cannot save you. Cannot take you to heaven. Cannot bring you closer to God. It cannot give you a little position in heaven because you've given so much. It profits nothing. And I want you to hear the word nothing, because it means nothing. There's no profit in all those things that is done without God being the one who dwells within us. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you a generous person? Is your purse open? Do you have an open hand to give? Then it's good. It's great. I mean, there's a lot of meanwhile cases, of worthwhile cases that we can give towards. But beloved, it will profit you nothing if you're not saved. That's how serious Paul is here. Every single person who has given away everything they have, who are not saved, it profits them nothing. It's worthless. They're wasting their time and they're wasting their money. But for us who are saved, and we give even a small little bit, doesn't matter what we give, it will profit. Because we do it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are doing it in obedience, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts towards God and towards our neighbors. Then lastly, the Apostle Paul says to us that love is more important than all our accomplishments. Look at verse 3 again. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So is it important to give? Of course it's important. Is it important to give a lot? Yes, if I can give a lot, give a lot. It's important. It's good. But love is more important. But Paul says that love is more important than all my accomplishments. Have you wondered about the legacy that you will leave behind when you die? Have you thought about that? What will be your legacy? What will you leave behind you? Since I've been diagnosed with cancer, that's been one of the things that I've been working through. That's been something that's been on my mind. Even though I realize that, I mean, I might not necessarily die of cancer. I could die in a car accident. I could get a heart attack. I can get COVID again and die of COVID. I can die anytime. But if you're diagnosed with cancer, it's a wake-up call. And you kind of start looking at life through different glasses. You start asking questions. You start examining things. And you start saying, listen, what is the legacy that I'm leaving behind? Is it really a legacy? Will I be able to say what the Apostle Paul said, that I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race? Will I be able to say that? Will people look at my life and say that his life is a life worth imitating? I hope you've been thinking of your own legacy that you will be leaving behind. What will your friends and family, if you have children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, what will be the legacy of your life? What will they say about you? It's a good thing to think about. Will your life, will your legacy have an umbrella of love over it? God's love. Will that be your legacy? That people will say, you know what, that person loved Christ with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. He loved his neighbors, he loved himself. I can see it because God was in that person, living his life through him or her. Now, the Apostle Paul has kind of another take on this, on the legacy that we leave behind. I mean, he uses the example of someone who is willing to give up his body to be burned as a martyr. This speaks of someone who is willing to be persecuted even to the point of death. It speaks of someone who is willing to be burned at the stake. It speaks of someone who has guts. Paul's talking about real persecution and real martyrdom here. He's talking about being so faithful and so committed that you end up dying because you are so committed. I mean, how deep is someone's commitment if that person is willing to die for their commitment, for what they believe in? I'm reminded of these people who take bombs and wrap it around their bodies and then go and blow up themselves for their cause. Within their religion, they are seen as martyrs. And they have a special place in their heaven. I think of people who are willing to die because they believe in a certain thing. How many people have died in revolutions? How many people have died trying to free countries from oppression and from dictators? They give their lives for the cause. Listen very carefully to what Paul is saying here. Remember the words, it profits nothing if it's not done in agape love. Listen to verse 3 again. Though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I mean, what a legacy. If generations to come would look back and say, that person was burned at the stake for their faith in Christ, for their love for God and their commitment to God's cause, they were burned at the stake. They were martyred for the sake of Christ. What a legacy. But there are many people who die for causes. Many. There are even people who are willing to die for climate change because that's their religion. See, beloved, Paul is saying, it profits me nothing if I have my body burned, if I do not have agape love. It basically means that only if God's love is the driving force behind me being burned to death, will it profit me anything. So you can be burned at the stake if you are not saved when you are burned. There is no profit in there. No profit at all. It will profit you nothing. You might have a wonderful legacy you leave behind. People will say, oh, that person died as a martyr for the cause. But if that person is not saved, it means absolutely nothing. It profits them nothing. Every single person that has died for the cause of the liberation of South Africa to get South Africa out of apartheid who did not do it in and through agape love has no profit before God at all. It's useless. Yes, for those who are left behind, of course, but for them, it's profitless. You see, God doesn't look at the world the way we look at the world. God is not interested in the things that we are interested in. When God looks at us, and when God looks at the world, He expects the world to be obedient in love. His love. And it's only possible if He's the one who works it in us. So what God is interested in is that people will be saved and then do whatever they do in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if they do it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, it has profit, not only for this life, but also for the life to come. It is profitable. See, His love is the driving force behind me when I'm burned to death, only then will it profit me. If I'm burned at the stake, but I do it without God's love in me, it profits me nothing. I will still open up my eyes in hell. Even though I've been burned at the stake for what I believe in. I hope you see the distinguishing factor here. You can only love with God's love if God is the one working it in and through you. It's the only way. Those who have been martyred for their faith, who did it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they will receive a reward from Christ when they stand before His bema seat one day. And Christ will say to them, "Good and faithful servant." Beloved, listen very carefully. You can go to church every Sunday. You can listen to sermons. When the doors of the church and it opens up and you are there, you can do that. You can stand on the street corner and preach Christ. You can go to a foreign country risking your life for the sake of Christ. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can do all the things that Christians are supposed to do that are important to Christians to do. You can do all of that as a means of working your way to heaven. It will profit you nothing. The question is, do you have the God of love dwelling in you? That's the question. I want to conclude with this. We've just learned last week and this week that love is more important than spiritual gifts. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us. He tells us that love is more important than knowledge, it's more important than faith, it's more important than prophecy or understanding all the mysteries of God. Love is more important than generosity. And love is more important than all of our accomplishments, including being a martyr. See, without God's love in us, our spiritual life means nothing. And it amazes me how people so often try to get in the back door, thinking that all their things that they do will add up and eventually get them into heaven. Get them into God's books. Profit them. Paul says no. The God of love that pours out His love through the indwelling Holy Spirit has to dwell within us. And if He does, that is everything. Only if the God of love is in us, then we are anything. Otherwise, we're nothing. Love is more important because of who God is. Because God is a God of love. It's with God's love that we should edify one another. Let me rather rephrase it like this and say, it is through God's love that He has poured out in us that we should edify one another with the gifts that He gave us. It is through God's love that we should believe and prophesy and understand the mysteries, show generosity, and live our Christian lives. If we do that, we will not be a noisy gong, a sounding cymbal. We will be somebody in the kingdom of God making a beautiful noise unto the Lord. And we will profit from it because it is God who works His love in and through us. Beloved, God willing, next week we are going to look at exactly what God's love looks like. And let me tell you, absolutely amazing. Something to be excited about, that God, the God of love, who is love, wants to live His love through us. It amazes me. And that God makes it possible for us to live this kind of love. It just blows my mind. So God willing, next week we will look at that. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to You this morning, knowing that those who are in Christ, those who are filled with the love of God, because You dwell within us, Father, that love is more important than all the things that we've looked at. And thank You, Father, that You've made this more important, so that we will never ever rely on our good works, but always rely on the fact that You have poured out Your love in us through Your Spirit who dwells within us. And Father, even though it's foolishness to the world, yet to us, it's just amazing. It amazes me that You, as the living Almighty God, who is love, will come and dwell in sinners like us and then live Your life in and through us. It's amazing. Enable us to be everything that You want us to be, and help us to understand and remember that love is more important than all of the things that we might think is important. So Father, as we come before You, as we sing Your praises, as we worship You, as we glorify You, as we go into the mission field into this world this week, I pray that Your love will outshadow everything in each one of our lives. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.